WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A rare in-person gathering of top military generals from around the world has gotten underway at Quantico Marine Base in Virginia. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth called for the meeting, though military commanders were not given many details. They were just told to get here within days to hear him discuss his priorities.
The clock is ticking toward a midnight deadline to avoid a government shutdown. Correspondent Nicole Killian.
Across from the Capitol, some federal workers are bracing for impact as the White House has asked agencies to consider more mass layoffs for programs that don't align with the president's priorities if a shutdown occurs.
Sources tell CBS News Hamas appears receptive to President Trump's Gaza peace plan. CBS's Deborah Patta says there could be significant consequences for them.
Ending the war will result in a bitter trade-off, disarmament, and potential exile from Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The second human case of West Nile virus has been confirmed in Wood County. The virus does not spread from person to person, but rather through the bite of an infected mosquito. And health officials say the best way to stay safe is to prevent mosquito bites. They suggest using insect repellent, wearing long pants and sleeves outdoors, and eliminating standing water around your home. Signs and symptoms of West Nile virus include fever, fatigue, headache, muscle or joint pain, a temporary rash, or gastrointestinal symptoms like vomiting or diarrhea. 80% of human infections don't show symptoms. A very small percentage of people who do develop symptoms experience serious complications that can lead to hospitalization or death. Wood County's newest park is now officially closed for the year. Wood County Sarah Park closed this week and will reopen next season on Memorial Weekend. The previously private park for mill employees and families saw many campers and visitors this year, now that it's part of Wood County Parks and Forestry Department and open to the public. Other Wood County parks remain open until October 31st. A portion of Dexter Park will stay open through deer hunting season. The street closure of McKinley Street in Wisconsin Rapids is being extended. McKinley Street is closed from 9th Avenue North to 14th Avenue North. It will be extended to include 8th Avenue North starting today at 7 a.m. The project is expected to be completed by the end of October. The Fall Drug Takeback Day is announced. You'll be able to safely dispose of unused and expired medications on Saturday, October 25th. There will be drop-off locations in Marshfield, Pittsville, Rome, Port Edwards, and Wisconsin Rapids. You can find more information at doseofrealitywi.gov. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks add coffee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks introduced their new 6'7" forward, Amir Coffee, at their media day. Coffee played for Bucks head coach Doc Rivers when the two were together at the LA Clippers.
I got on the phone with Doc and we had a couple good conversations. And, I felt comfortable with the decision I made to come here and, start back up with him.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, unable to attend, he's still in Greece with COVID and was asked on a Zoom call, how's he doing after playing in the European League this summer?
Me personally, I'm feeling good. My confidence is in an all-time high right now. Can't wait to, get on the court with the guys and try to represent the team in the best way possible.
Baseball, the Cubs host the Padres in the wild card playoffs. The winner of that three-game series will face the Brewers in the National League Divisional Playoffs in Milwaukee on Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 79 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low dropping into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and once again mild, our high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the big house to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, retired Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Chris Foran discusses great stories he's covered and talks movies. And Sean Hannish discusses the theatrical release of No Packers, No Life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Nice to have you back on a Tuesday morning, last day of September here in 2025. We're going to flip the script a little bit here. Cam Stevenson normally joins us in this half hour, and Dan Schaefer in our 8:30 half hour. Cam Stevenson working at the U.S. Capitol and actually there as we speak, and will be joining us at 8:35, getting all the very latest on the potential for a federal government shutdown, which means that Dan Schaefer has graciously agreed to come in a little bit early, and we'll have him coming in just a moment. First, a reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner. And, of course, there's also the brand new Civic Media daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. Sign up at civicmediatoday.substack.com. Brittany Merlot is off today. Temperatures around the state range from some of the low 60s down south in places like Kenosha, where it's 64. And, of course, up north, we still have some upper 40s in Merrill and Manitouish Waters and Tomahawk. It's 55 here in the Chippewa Valley and in the Fox Valley area as well. 55 in Madison and 61 degrees at the airport in Milwaukee, where we find Dan Schaefer, not at the airport, but in Milwaukee, covering things in the state capitol as part of the recombobulation area and as political editor for Civic Media. Mr. Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And yes, even though my publication is named the Recombobulation Area, I do not actually live at the airport, Pat, just to be clear.
No. Yes, although you get more photos tagging you from the airport than probably anybody who actually works at the airport.
That's probably true. You know, and they've even set up this little like selfie board for the recombobulation area there, which I think I should take full credit for, right?
I think you should. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's genius. That's brilliant because again, no other airport has a recombobulation area outside TSA screening the way that Milwaukee does.
That's right. I know if I get everything else wrong, I got the name right because I love the recombobulation area.
That is exactly it. There's also no bigger Milwaukee Bucks fan. And so let's start with a conspiracy theory. That Giannis.
Oh, good. Always my favorite topic.
Yes. Let's go with Giannis. Oh, I have COVID. I have to stay here in Greece a little while longer and miss media day. I'm just kidding. We don't think it's an actual conspiracy. But, you know, if I were to want to skip media day and I were in Greece, I wouldn't be running for the airport necessarily. But we're not reading too much into this. Giannis is a team player all the way.
That's right. He was on the stream, though, so he was still participating in media day. Mm-hmm. So my friends who cover the team and all of that still were able to pepper Giannis with some questions. You know, it's kind of the unofficial start to to the season and, right. and everything else. You get all the players and their new players and their new uniforms, and they're meeting with the media, and they're taking, you know, just the goofy photos. They're going to end up on the Jumbotron during the season. Like, it's NBA basketball. It's just a few weeks away. I'm getting excited already.
I know you are, and I know we're following the Packers, of course, as well, and the Badgers and all of that, but isn't it just a little bit tougher when you still got the Brewers doing so well and they get to play some bonus baseball?
That's true. We're going to be very much dialed in on the Brewers here in Milwaukee for the next few weeks. So I know we get a little bit of a break here during the week while the wild card games are going on. But come this weekend, Milwaukee's going to be, it's going to be nuts. It is absolutely going to be nuts.
Do you consider yourself among the group that really does not want to play the Cubs because you hate the thought of, you know, what could happen? You relish the thought of playing the Cubs because you really want to take it to them? Or are you fairly agnostic when it comes to Cubs Padres?
As in terms of just like rooting interests for the Brewers, I'm fairly agnostic. I think it's going to be much harder to get to a game if it's the Cubs.
Yes, it is.
Because, you know the fibs. I'm sorry if I can't say that on the show. You know the fibs are going to come up for the American to you know, flood American Family Field because it's so hard to get to a game in Chicago, and there are so many Cubs fans in Northern Illinois. And so I think that, I guess I'd kind of prefer the Padres to win just because I think it would be easier to find a ticket in Milwaukee if it was the Padres versus the Cubs. But in terms of just like the rooting interest, you know, I think you look, when you got the best record in baseball, you got the number one seed in the National League, you're not really worried about, you shouldn't be worried about who you're going to play. You just should be coming into these playoffs saying, hey, we're going to beat any team that's put in front of us. Let's go.
There you go. Dan Schaefer is not just following sports in Milwaukee for us, but we just had to get a little chit chat out of the way for all of our favorite teams before we dive back into politics here, which we must.
Are you sure we can't just talk about sports for a half hour today?
We could. We could. But then we wouldn't learn more about the newest candidate for governor, Missy Hughes, and the now former candidate for governor, Bill Berrien, over on the Republican side. But let's start on the Democratic side with Missy Hughes, who I think is the sixth or seventh Democrat to get into the governor's race right now. And, you know, what she can give us in terms of an overview on her.
Yeah, you know, she has been, like you said, it's a growing Democratic field. And so Missy Hughes grows, adds to that field. And I think it's just going to make it it's not a field of just like these half-baked candidacies of people that you've never heard of. It is a lot of legitimate candidates and people who we should be paying attention to. And I very much think that that Hughes falls into that camp. And she has been the head of the WEDC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, as part of the Evers administration for the past 6 years. Before that, she was an executive at the company Organic Valley. She was there for 17 years. And so she's really running to say, I think the line was she's a running as a Democrat who understands the economy. So her message, at least in the announcement video and the initial press release and all of that, was very much an economic focused message. I think a lot of other, you know, Democrats talking about other issues. They've talked about abortion. They've talked about, you know, a variety of different things when it comes to healthcare, whatnot. This is very much keeping it an economic focus. I think the first line of the video was Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy. And I do think there is a story to be told here, too, with her candidacy, because the WEDC under Scott Walker was very much in shambles from time to time. It was an entity that I think a lot of people viewed as somewhat corrupt and doing favors for Scott Walker's political donors. But in the years since that, with Governor Evers at the helm and with Missy Hughes leading the WEDC, we haven't seen those problems. And I think in the recovery from COVID, I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but I think Wisconsin was among the national leaders in routing some of those federal dollars to small businesses instead of the kind of Foxconn style giveaways that we saw under Scott Walker. So I think the way that she has led that organization has been a big departure from the previous administration, and I think has been a successful departure at that.
Yeah, we've spoken at length on this program about Wisconsin having you know, pretty much the strongest state recovery coming out of COVID, in large part because of that mindset of getting that federal assistance to as many small businesses as possible through Main Street grants and things like that. So Missy Hughes will have a real story to tell on the economy, and it will lead a lot of Democratic voters to do what they did in 2018 when they look at the whole field and go, if we could just take all of you, the best of all of you, you're pursuing health care, you're pursuing women's reproductive health care rights, you've got education over here, and now you've got business development over here. And one of them who specializes or who emphasizes one issue more than the other will be the eventual nominee. But it is a good reminder that, you know, the best governors are the ones who can, you know, keep more than one plate spinning at a time, even if it's rhetorically.
Maybe the field right now looks like almost like a cabinet. You know, you could have different people in these various different roles. You know, and so I think, you know, Hughes had a good announcement video. You know, and I think she adds to the field, I think, in another way as well, where most of the candidates that we've heard from so far are from Milwaukee and Madison, or from, you know, kind of surrounding areas and whatnot. I think she brings a little bit of a different perspective, being from southwestern Wisconsin, and I think that, you know, that's going to help the debate here, I think, in the primary field too, to have somebody with more of a connection outside of Milwaukee and Madison, as compared to, you know, we had State Senator Kelda Royes and State Representative Francesca Hong from Madison. We had Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. You know, Sarah Rodriguez is from Brookfield. That's right over the border from Milwaukee County. So, so I think that adding to that field in that sense is just giving some, I guess, geographic diversity would be a good thing in the primary too.
Dan Schaefer's joining us, political editor for Civic Media. And over on the Republican side, of course, the big addition to the race was Congressman Tom Tiffany a few days back, and then the departure of businessman Bill Berrien, who I think actually performed a public service, not the kind maybe that he was expecting to perform. But I think when this happens, and occasionally it does happen, it's a public service that reminds us that just because you were successful in business does not mean you are going to be governor or a good governor or a good candidate to get to be governor. The same goes for, you know, your military record. I'm not saying that every governor has to have been, say, a county board member or something, but that kind of public service does mean something. And it's not an easily transferable thing just to say, I'm good at business, I must be the next governor.
Wisconsin politics is a very different animal from from working in the business community. And yeah, I think Barry very much saw that especially over the past, you know, kind of week plus here, when the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was reporting on some of his social media activity following these sexually explicit accounts, following a transgender porn star while he's kind of making anti-trans messaging a core of his candidacy. And you throw all of that into the mix in a candidacy that it was already going nowhere. I mean, that's part of this story, too, that even before the Bice stories from last week about his social media activity, he was not resonating with the Republican base at all. I think the fact that he backed Nikki Haley and not Donald Trump in the 2024 primary was coming back to bite him. He was seemed to be open to some democracy reforms like ranked choice voting and things like that. Conservatives very much against that at the current moment. I didn't think his candidacy had much of a chance before. And then when you add in everything else, you know, all issues aside, it's not going to help him in a Republican primary to be having this kind of social media activity be made public. And so he dropped out, and he had some things to say in that farewell statement.
Media.
You know, getting mad at everybody and trying to rationalize these things. And but, you know, he's out of the race. What is it? Less than 3 months since he launched his campaign. Didn't really think he had much of a chance anyway, unless he got a Trump endorsement. And I think that's the key thing in the Republican Party. But, you know, we will remember Bill Berrien's candidacy a little differently now, I think.
Yes. And what do we always say? Don't go away mad. You know, just go away. Anyway, you can get more from Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area at the Recombobulation Area. civicmedia.news. So catch what he's writing there. And of course, all across the civic media landscape, as well as Civic Media's political editor. And as we mentioned, Dan normally heard in the second half hour, but he's flipping spots with Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, who will be joining us live from Washington, D.C. to talk about the potential for a shutdown later tonight. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things, people, love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org. Sponsored by Oxfam America.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Health officials say close to 1,000 people in Wisconsin die by suicide every year. It's Suicide Prevention Month, and if you are struggling, call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
It wasn't until this moment in particular that I could still remember my mother, like, basically almost refusing and wanting to pay more. Like, for, she just didn't believe it. She didn't, no way that she fit all those books in there for $2, and I'm going to get to take this home for $2. That's just impossible. My mom, books that she has not kept, other ones she has recycled and put in, but mm-hmm. it speaks to all you book lovers out there. This is your event. This is one of those great events. I also think one thing that is noteworthy about the community book sale is when this first got started, we had a lot more like just, book trade shops and book shop, you know, secondhand bookshops mm-hmm. and a lot of those. We've lost so many of those over the years that I think this sale has become even more important in that regard as well. Like all the reasons we've talked about, but also just the idea of people missing being able to do something like this.
And we have repeat visitors. We have people that look forward to this, and we start getting phone calls usually in September, early September, asking, when is the book sale? Are you doing the book sale again? And that second question is more because we had to put it on hold during COVID. For 2 years, we didn't. And it's nice to be able to bring it back and have it for the community because they do look forward to it. And it's nice to be known as a church that's there for the community that offers these kinds of things.
Know that some of our listeners are, you know, up from out of town taking in this segment and everything. So wanted to remind everybody that there is another way to impact things as well, even if you are from out of town or you're not mm-hmm. able, maybe you're out of town during those dates or something. You got gift certificates available, right, Beth?
We do. We have a special website. I believe it's on the flyer. So
yes,
there's an email.
It is. Let me see. Is it the community book sale?
It's communitybooksale@gmail.com. You can email us there, and we will work with you to get gift certificates. We have a couple that have already been sold. Some of our members like to buy them and give them to family to be able to use. And we will be once again giving some to the station, both WFHR and WIRI, to text to win. To get them into the hands of listeners as well.
It's awesome. We love giving things away, right? And thank you very much for that. That's really nice. And great thing to offer as a part of this and everything. Speaking of that, when it comes to sales and people purchasing these books, are you able to help ways? Should we encourage them to bring cash, or do they have a card available, card reader available? Or?
We take cash, check, and credit cards available.
Excellent.
And then we have, like, so they can take a card if they want to purchase a lot of books, and they go to the holding area, and we have, you know, or they can, like, look through them again and go to the refreshment stand and the comfy chairs. We have a lot of book collectors that come, so buy a lot of books.
We also have canvas bags that we are selling as well that you can use and take your books home in that.
Well, and you're going to be back next year, so those canvas bags, you're going to get your money's worth out of those and everything. You just keep bringing them back and stuff. And I cannot wait for this one. We'll be certainly typing it up on our shows, but the community book sale coming up October 9th and 10th, 8:30 to 6. The bag sale will be that October 11th, 8:30 to 1. Keep that one in mind. Keep in mind that this is also a great event because 100% of the proceeds, 100%, go to Mid-State Technical College scholarships. Be a part of impacting the future and get some great reading material right here. Especially the colder months are right around the corner. You want some new books to read and some of that. It's a great opportunity for
And it. If you're like James' mom and think that that's too little to pay for a bag or a book, we will take donations that are beyond what we're charging as well.
Keep that in mind, everybody. And we'll give you more information how to reach out to the team in a moment here and stuff. But I did want to take a brief moment, Beth, to remind everybody about trivia coming up, the Two Doors Brewing.
Yes, that's right. The Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism, or the Grace Group in town, is having another fundraiser. We're doing the trivia event went so well this past winter that we're doing it again, but we're doing it in the fall. So this coming Saturday, October 5th, from 4 to 6 p.m., head on down to Beast Tap House. We're doing a silent auction and trivia event. This year, we are limiting teams to a maximum of 6, just so that it becomes a little bit more competitive. We had one team of, I think, about 20 people last year, and then we had teams of one person. So we want to try and make it a little bit more equitable, but it's going to be a lot of fun. They have opened up their bar and restaurant so that you can get food while you're there. We've got some great items that are going to be able to be bidded on at our silent auction, and all of the proceeds from that particular event are going to help pay off student debt at school so that our seniors can walk at graduation and start that next chapter of their life without that kind of a debt.
I found out the hard way how serious this area takes trivia.
Like,
I just got told, they're just doing this world's biggest trivia contest. So come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun. I was there all weekend. Like, I did not go home that whole weekend. Just answering questions, entertainment questions and everything. People love trivia around here. And the thing that they love even more than that is doing it for a good cause.
Right. And it will be done by two of our own voices here on the station, Seth and myself.
Hey, you guys are going to do a great job with this. You're going to have a lot of fun with this one. The only challenge is getting Seth not to answer the questions after he gives the question. It's going to be tough on you, but he's got you there, so he'll be all right.
I know how to keep him silent.
Yes.
So, and that's one of the reasons we have him hosting rather than playing, because he pretty much knows a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to say a special shout out to Two Doors Down Brewing Company here in Rapids. You hear us mention them so often doing things like this, hosting things, event, opening their doors for different nonprofits in our community. Big shout out to them. Love the gang over there. Great people. Also, really great bar. Great service.
Yes.
Great stuff over there. You know, keep that in mind when you're looking to hang out. And, of course, keep this one in mind. Sunday, October 5th, 4 to 6 at Two Doors Down Brewing Company at 140 East Grand Avenue right here in Rapids. Join them for this great trivia night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Come on up.
If people have follow-up questions, they'd like to know more about some of what we talked about today, Beth, and learn more not only about this, but maybe about some of the other services and other events you have going on with the Moravian Church, what's the best way for them to reach you guys?
You can find us at our website, wrmoravian.org. I believe it's org.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure. I always confuse org and comp.
Don't blame me.
Yeah, wrmoravian.org, and there is a specific tab, I think, or if you go to events, You'll find our flyer for the book sale, and you can check out what other things we offer. We also have a YouTube channel if you're interested in checking out what our services are like. Go to Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church on YouTube, and we put all of our services on there as well.
Be sure to follow them on social media, share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. And, of course, make time for the community book sale coming up October 9th and 10th, 8:30 to 6. And, of course, the bag sale October 11th, 8:30 to 1, all taking place over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South, right here in Rapids. Thank you for the time, you two.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Another person has announced they're running for governor. Missy Hughes, who until recently was the secretary of Wisconsin's Economic Development Agency, meaning the field of Democrats has gotten more crowded as the field of Republicans got thinner before the weekend. Savannah Tolme Olson has the details.
Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing? I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land.
The field of Democrats running just keeps growing, and now we can add Hughes to the list, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, State Senator Kelda Royce, State Representative Francesca Hong, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. Meanwhile, the roster of Republicans running changed last week. Congressman Tom Tiffany joined the race on Tuesday, and Friday afternoon, businessman Bill Berrien dropped out. He was found to be following sexually explicit accounts online, and at least one of them was a trans performer. Although during his campaign, Berrien was critical of the trans community and ran ads saying he would, quote, keep boys out of our daughter's sports and locker rooms, end quote. That leaves Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Shulman running as Republicans. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks. I was late to the party with the original Dexter, but really enjoyed all 8 seasons. I'm really enjoying Dexter Resurrection. The show has the same mystery of its first incarnation, as well as the solid writing, but the Dexter character has evolved into a caring father, which complicates things for a serial killer. The talented cast that surrounds Michael C. Hall includes Neil Patrick Harris, Eric Stonestreet, Peter Dinklage, and Uma Thurman. It's worth a look. And in news almost nobody over 30 cares about, Selena Gomez and her fiancé, Benny Blanco, tied the knot after their 2-year courtship. The wedding took place last Saturday in California. Gomez announced the news on Instagram over the weekend. Taylor Swift was the flower girl and Martin Short was the ring bearer. Other celebrities who attended included Paris Hilton, and there were some celebs with talent who attended as well, including Steve Martin, Ed Sheeran, and Paul Rudd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 79 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low dropping into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and once again mild, our high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 55.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney.
It's on.
And save. Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn. Badgers finish Michigan.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Federal government shutdown looms, healthcare in danger. We'll discuss it with Sean Fettaplace of the Main Street Action Alliance. Also, Alex Bedorsky is in talking about Knowles Nelson Conservancy.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll be meeting Ellie Bardot. She is our new newsletter editor, and she'll be telling us all about her new duties and what she's been doing to get acquainted with folks who read our Up North News daily newsletter. So Ellie Bardot will be joining us tomorrow just after the 7 o'clock news here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. State outlets all over the country, newsletters, podcasts, and a reporter up on Capitol Hill who's helping us track down whether there's going to be an agreement to prevent a government shutdown. Of course, to do that, it would have to pass through Congress. Congress would have to be in session. And I'm looking at a very empty Longworth House office building where Cam Stevenson is standing by because there ain't no Republicans around, basically, and Tony heard us during the commercial break and puts up, he's just beside himself. They aren't even there? No, Tony, they're not. Cam, how are things looking at the Capitol?
Yeah, no, it's like a half day, as in half the people are here, because the Republicans decided not to stick around after the calendars were canceled. And so nobody's really here. They're not banking on there being a deal. I don't know how there could be because there's no one here to negotiate. Democrats are here. I'm speaking with different members of the House all day and a few senators who are trying to convince people to get back here. Republican senators are in town, but there's nowhere near enough House Republicans to put in a lunch order, let alone negotiate a budget.
No, because they've made clear that they won't negotiate with Democrats, even though they haven't got the votes to pass a budget on their own. They have to have Democratic votes. And so, yeah, as Alicia puts up on YouTube, so they don't want to do the jobs they are being paid to do. That is correct, Alicia. And I'm just not aware of many places where you can get away with not negotiating with the people whose votes you need. But for the few people that you are finding there on Capitol Hill, what are they thinking? Obviously, it seems like a shutdown is inevitable, but what are they thinking in terms of, well, then what?
Yeah, well, it's very, people I've spoken to are very frustrated because they are trying to do their job. They're trying to negotiate. Of course, nothing that Republicans have proposed, it's not ideal for the Democrats that are here, but they're just hoping to get three or four concessions, compromises, because that's traditionally what Congress is supposed to do, is compromise and represent everyone, not just a portion of people. So they're frustrated. They're trying to let people know what's going to happen once a shutdown does take place. And who is at fault, which in this case is the people who aren't here to do their job.
That's right. And look, every public opinion poll so far this week has showed that by double-digit figures, the American public, they know who's to blame for this. They know this is congressional Republicans and the president who are responsible for the shutdown. They can protest all they want, but, you know, they are the ones who made all these big cuts to Medicaid and to the Affordable Care Act, premium subsidies, and that's the thing that Democrats want, you know, restored in at least some part. But Republicans, it sounds like they're not working on that end of things. Like, what little bit can they give in order to win over some Democratic votes? It seems more like they're at the opposite end of how much pressure, how much pain can we bring that will get a couple of moderate Democrats to give up and just go along with the Republicans? So it really feels like they're trying to somehow put pressure on squishy Democrats rather than negotiating with all the rest of them.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty fair assessment. Is they're waiting for a few to break instead of trying to meet anyone, not even halfway. You know, this is, I would say the majority of things that Democrats are looking for are things that their Republican voters want as well. Maybe Republicans didn't like the Affordable Care Act, don't like the subsidies, but what they're really not going to like is when their health insurance premiums go up next year. Because without those subsidies, everyone's insurance goes up, not just people who are using ACA marketplace insurance. And so by pushing out all Democrats, not even trying to get anyone, all they need is 7 votes. And by not even attempting to compromise with at least 7 people and just hoping that they break under the pressure is, I think, a very cynical take on how to govern.
Yeah, well, what we're hearing from Republican leadership, and I understand why, is they look at the potential for a shutdown back in March, I believe it was, when, you know, House Democrats wanted to hold firm, and then Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, you know, said, okay, we don't want to shut down. We will keep things going for a little while longer. And you've got Republicans saying, well, Senate Democrats, you know, caved in last time, so why don't you just be reasonable and cave in again? And I certainly didn't get that vibe from Chuck Schumer nor from House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries after their White House meeting yesterday.
No, I don't. I think they're past that point. I think they saw that they got nothing and there was no actual benefit. All of the bad things that happened from the budget went through anyway. A lot of the things that are being threatened if the shutdown takes place are things that the Trump administration is planning to do regardless. And so there really is no incentive for them to cave to Republicans. And in fact, it's something that not only is very unpopular with their voters, with Democrats, but it, again, would cause pain that can then be blamed on them instead of the people who are pushing all these things through.
Yeah, it's time now for the Republicans to own the pain that they are already inflicting through the big bloated bill that was passed earlier this year, which is ending those Affordable Care Act subsidies to keep premium costs down. And of course, the looming Medicaid cuts that are coming as well. Cam Stevenson is joining us live from Capitol Hill from Courier Newsroom, where, again, if you missed it at the top, I mean, there's hardly any Republicans to be found. And so it's looking, you know, like a certainty that there will be a federal government shutdown coming up at midnight tonight. And Cam, we hear that the White House has been making all these plans, not just for the furloughs that would come through a normal shutdown, but they're basically trying to, it sounds like they're trying to supercharge the layoffs. And this wouldn't be just furloughs where employees are sent home and they don't do their job and they don't get their paycheck for a while. These are just flat out layoffs. Like they want people fired.
Yeah. And that's been something the Trump administration has wanted to do the entire year, is just get rid of as many federal workers as possible so that they can privatize public services and public industries. And this would be a way for, it would be a way for them to supercharge it, but it's not like it's something that they're not trying to do anyway. And in a lot of instances, the courts have given Trump broad authority beyond what people thought he should have, to fire and close federal agencies and remove federal workers. And so they are trying to use the shutdown as a way to speed up some firings and layoffs. But again, it's something that they're planning to do regardless. This is just, I guess, an opportunity for them.
Yeah, an opportunity would be the right way to put it from their standpoint. And yeah, it's a great point that you make, that courts to this point have done two different things. Either they have somewhat surprisingly upheld the Trump administration's ability to just flat out fire, you know, a bunch of federal workers in different areas, or they have said that these cuts, these firings, they can go on while the legal challenge is proceeding here. And as much as you probably thought you'd be covering a lot of congressional stuff, it almost sounds like, you know, you're going to be doing more work across the street at the Supreme Court as this stuff eventually works its way through. This is becoming an administration that is becoming increasingly familiar with the courts because of all the challenges that are being filed.
Yeah, you know, well, and it's interesting because as much as I would love to cover the Supreme Court weighing in on these things, they've been using something called the shadow docket so mm-hmm. much since Trump came into the office that there aren't even hearings necessarily to sit in on. They make these decisions quietly. They make them in private. They make them without opinions sometimes. And so they're issuing these orders without any justification or any precedent, presumably so that if a Democrat is reelected, is, you know, put into the presidency, they can kind of reverse these things without explanation.
It is akin to, you know, imagine Congress if Republicans could agree amongst themselves and if they had solid majorities. You know, imagine them not even holding floor sessions and just announcing the votes, saying, you know, we got the votes and so we're just going to put this out. And that's basically what you're seeing from the Supreme Court. You know, the three liberal justices are absolutely beside themselves that saying there should be these arguments. There should be these very detailed opinions that explain, you know, how these decisions are rooted in law. And you've got the six right-wing justices saying, no, we took a vote. This is how it's going to be. They slap it on a piece of paper without any kind of legal justification behind it, any legal arguments behind it. And we're like, yeah, we're good. When's dinner? And that, again, I can only imagine the frustration you're hearing from people as you make your rounds there.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, there's supposed to be, this is public office. It's supposed to be all very public. It's supposed to be transparent. The people are supposed to be able to know why things are happening and have recourse if they don't like it. And by doing things shrouded in secrecy, by letting the government close without explanation, without even showing up to vote against it, you know, it's one thing for the government to shut down after a lot of debates and there, you know, there's a genuine effort, but for Republicans to just drop the ball and head home, while the Supreme Court says, you know, we don't really need to issue orders, we don't really care about precedent, we're just going to kind of let the White House do what it wants. And then the White House puts out more lies than anything. Then, yeah, it is. It's very frustrating to try and get to the bottom of anything.
Any idea how things will change for you from the standpoint of coverage once a shutdown begins? I wonder if there probably won't be much for meetings. I don't know what there will be for access. You'll have elsewhere in the city. You'll have, you know, museums being closed. I sense tomorrow is going to be almost, I'm not going to say a zombie day, but there's going to be people wandering around going, well, what the heck do we do now?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of things planned with federal workers who are furloughed, laid off, whose jobs are put on pause. So I'm going to be seeking out people to talk with who are directly impacted by the shutdown. There still are people here who will be working, who are trying to get a deal done, whether or not they have enough people to put anything to a vote or to discuss it is another question. But, you know, the thing about a shutdown is it gives a lot of people a lot of time. And so in lieu of our elected representatives showing up and doing something, there's a lot to be said for the general public to be able to come out and voice their displeasure.
Oh, and I don't doubt that they'll do that. And they'll be doing that toward a lot of people those who still have to work aren't getting paid for it. And that's a whole different dimension from, you know, the military to TSA to all kinds of other workers. And, you know, they may be willing to do that out of a measure of service to their country. But when they're asked to pick up, say, you know, an extra shift here and there, nobody's going to be racing to do that.
Right. Yeah, that's not. You know, I would invite anyone listening to think about their lives and think about how long they could go without a paycheck. And then add to the fact that they're still working full time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how anyone can.
A lot of us would not be necessarily volunteering to work for free, but you're going to see some of that starting tomorrow. Cam Stevenson following it for us from Courier Newsroom on Capitol Hill. Thank you, Cam, very much. Appreciate the update.
Yeah, anytime, Pat.
All right. Hey, good luck to you out there. That's going to be quite the adventure. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Hi friends, it's Steven.
And Katrina from Family Natural Foods. We'll be having our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale going on Friday, October 3rd, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 4th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., 910 West Grand Ave in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll have samples and product experts answering your questions. Don't forget to sign up for some awesome door prizes and receive a free gift with purchase. Join us Friday, October 3rd and Saturday, October 4th for our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale.
Working with nature since 1946.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt and Aaron Air coming up next with Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach. And the 9 o'clock hour is your next chance to enter and win in the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. And I'm sure that there will be conversations there and throughout the day on the coming government shutdown. And I believe we can say the coming government shutdown, because there does not appear to be any end in sight to the ridiculousness that is coming from people like the president, from the vice president. We're hearing a lot about, for example, you know, Democrats want, $1.5 trillion for health care for illegals. Always a favorite when you hear the illegals, you know. No, it's Republicans and the president who have cut more than $1 trillion from Medicaid for all Americans, including the undocumented immigrants who pay taxes. It's deducted from their paychecks, and yet they can't access that system. They can't enroll in Medicaid. They can't purchase health insurance. And so as more of them are being rounded up and deported because, you know, they're such terrorists, they're also not paying into the system, which further strains it. It's strained even further by the cuts that are coming from the Trump, Vance, Van Orden, big bloated boondoggle. And one of the other talking points that we're hearing out of, you know, the regular stream of GOP gaslighting is that there's this $50 billion fund that's going to help rural hospitals, and that Democrats are putting that at risk again just to protect healthcare for illegals. No, the $50 billion fund that they're talking about for rural healthcare is a sliver of the money that they're cutting from rural healthcare by $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid. $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid is going to be an absolute death spiral for an increasing number of rural hospitals. But what Trump and the Republicans came up with was, well, okay, of the $1 trillion we're cutting, let's pull $50 billion of it back. Again, just a fraction of that. And let's advertise that as a $50 billion bonus pool that's going to rural healthcare, when it's really just crumbs compared to all the cuts that they're making, and doing it all while hiding behind the race-based policies of blaming everything on undocumented migrants rather than being honest with the voters and saying, look, we're cutting $1 trillion from Medicaid because we got to pay for these tax cuts for billionaires. In fact, we're giving them tax cuts that are so big, we're actually going to run the deficit up another $4 trillion. That's the part to me that I really kind of surprised more people don't hop on, is just taken on just the one sheet of paper at its most basic, is that the big bloated boondoggle from all these people who love to say, we can't afford healthcare, we can't afford education, we can't afford infrastructure, but apparently we can't afford $4 trillion in tax cuts to the very wealthy to blow up the deficit that way. So those are the talking points they're going to try to advance. But as I mentioned, most public opinion surveys already show that people know that this is something Trump and Republicans have been pushing for. They know that this is going to hurt Americans, and they know that they want it to hurt Americans and hope that Democrats will back down. And there will be some squishy Democrats who are going to say, they're going to wring their hands and say, we've got to do something. Well, to do something means to go along with their plans to rip away $1 trillion in Medicaid and all of the Affordable Care Act premium supports that go along with it, and the cuts to nutrition programs. And look, if you want to be a part of that, that's fine. But can you please keep the name Democrat off your label from now on and actually fight for people going forward? I mean, I'd appreciate that anyway. One last story I want to talk about, and I don't have the exact location where it happened. I believe it was in Wisconsin, but I heard a story that was playing on the TV recently, and it was another one of those heartwarming stories about a mom-to-be who couldn't make it to the hospital in time. Labor was much shorter than expected, and so, you know, she delivered at home. You see the same stories about women who are delivering on the side of the road, and again, there's always this warm, heartwarming story about the state trooper who delivered the baby, or the firefighter who delivered the baby, or in the case of the story I heard this morning, you know, the two-year-old toddler who comforted his mom while she gave birth on the bathroom floor. These are not heartwarming stories. These are stories of disaster narrowly averted. When people have to drive much longer than they used to because our small rural hospitals are closing. If you are nowhere near Eau Claire or Rice Lake or Duluth, if you are anywhere else in that upper northwest quadrant of Wisconsin, you have got a long ride to get to a regular labor and delivery area where people are trained and the equipment is there to make sure that you can deliver safely. And so when we head into this government shutdown, just think about how many more rural hospitals, if they don't close, are at least going to give up doing labor and delivery and OB care. And they're going to stop being heartwarming stories. And I don't mean to be alarmist. I'm being realistic here. We're going to hear about some bad outcomes on the road. And at that point, we're going to say, how did we get to this point? We got to this point because some people in office wanted to pay for $4 trillion to push up the debt to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy rather than take care of basic health care for their own constituents. So remember these stories and the stories of real people you're going to hear over the coming days who serve our country but are not going to get paid because you've got some politicians in the White House and running Congress that would rather have people suffer first so that they can take care of their buddies through just a few more tax cuts. We can't afford any more tax cuts for billionaires in this country. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Thanks for tuning in for this morning. We'll catch you back here bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth has just declared an end to what he calls politically correct military leadership at an unusual meeting of hundreds of generals and admirals from around the world at Marine Base Quantico in Virginia.
For too long, we've promoted too many uniformed leaders for the wrong reasons. Based on their race, based on gender quotas, based on historic so-called firsts.
Hegseth says basic training will once again be, quote, scary, tough, disciplined.
We are clearing out the debris, removing the distractions, clearing the way for leaders to be leaders. You might say we're ending the war on warriors.
If military leaders don't like his new approach, the Secretary of War says they should do the honorable thing and resign. President Trump has just taken the stage to address the group. CBS News Special Report. I'm